Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord for guiding us to come before His presence to worship Him. And today I would like to share God's Word with the sermon title, God Provides. We came through very difficult times this past 2 years of pandemic. But I see that many people are still struggling, and this coronavirus is not finished yet. I hear a lot of people getting infected these days, but it's still hard, and many people are still struggling. During the pandemic, whenever I visit our church members over the phone or in person, there are so many stories that made my heart cry. The story of a family who prays with tears with their family members being sick. The story of a family who lost their job and who lost their loved ones. The story of a family whose parents are ill and died but cannot visit them because they're in Korea and there's a certain situation. And the story of a family who's praying desperately for the salvation of their parents and siblings. As I talked to them, I heard pain that resonated in my heart. In today's text, we can also hear the people's voices of suffering. It is the voice of the people of Israel who are groaning in pain as they see their limitation in front of the bitter waters of Marah. They departed from the slavery in Egypt. They were led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and they experienced the miracle of crossing the Red Sea according to God's providence. And on the way from the Red Sea, we heard the praises of Moses and Miriam. They rejoiced in the miracles they had experienced and offered praises to glory, praises of glory to God. The Red Sea parted before their eyes, and the great Egyptians' army that followed them got killed. They witnessed them being swallowed in the sea before their eyes. You know, can you imagine how thrilling this could be? Right? I mean, we just hear this from the Bible, story in the Bible, but imagine if the Red Sea, the big ocean, big sea is getting departed in front of your eyes. It's a very thrilling experience. So I'm sure they probably have said, oh my goodness, does this really make sense? Man, God is alive. Yes, we did a great job following Moses. I mean, these sounds of admiration would not have ceased. And while admiring and praising in this way, they enter the desert of Shur. But since the desert of Shur was literally a desert, there was no water, and it was dry. Desert of Shur was surrounded with rocks. You know, it's a desert, it's a hot weather, but have you ever sat on a rock on a hot day? If you go to, like, Central Park, I mean, there's a lot of rocks. Have you ever, tried to sit there when it's, like, 100, 120 degrees? No, right? It's hot, right? Your butt will get burned, right? I mean, you can't even feel the heat even if you go near it, right? And not only that, 2 million people had a lot of livestock and a lot of luggage, including food. And think about it. They're walking on a rocky road with a group of 2 million people with all these livestock, and the luggage must have been very difficult. So I'm sure the temperature that they felt was higher than it actually was. But they walked that road for 3 days. And they ran out of water. And no matter how much they walked, they couldn't find water. So it must have been very difficult. And probably their steps were heavy, and they were thirsty, and they were tired. Still, they walked hard while enjoying the thrilling incident they experienced at the Red Sea. And after 3 days, they arrived at a place called Marah. And there they found the water. And I'm sure they were very excited, right? After those, the 3 days of hardship, they finally found the water, and they're probably very excited. And they probably have said, yes, we're alive. I'm alive now, right? And after all, God did not forsake us. Right? 역시 하나님이야, right? God is our God the Father, right? And they must have jumped into the water with such excitement, right? They're thirsty. They're dry. But no way. See what happens. Unlike their expectations, the water is so bitter that they could not drink. And it was so bitter that they all vomited. And they call it Mara. And they immediately complained to Moses, "What are we going to drink now?" You know, in fact, it is said that this bitter water contains high calcium and high magnesium. So it is said that if you drink, it is water that makes people vomit because you cannot digest it. So at the time, the Arabs called this water the worst of all the places around there. And regardless of other things, water is an essential element in the human body. But moreover, walking in the wilderness for 3 days, probably they were thirsty and exhausted. So their resentment is a very natural response in a way. You know, we probably have reacted the same way. But there's one question we can ask. Why did God, who had just led them with the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, and show them the miracles at the Red Sea, had them enter the desert of Shur and pass through a place called Mara, where there is such bitter water? If you understand the area, you'll see why. The desert of Shur, after crossing the Red Sea, was a must-pass way in order to go from Egypt to Canaan. It is in the midst of the blessed road to Canaan that God has prepared. It was like a checkpoint where you had to go through. It was God who brought them out of Egypt. And it is God who is leading them to Canaan. He's the God who made the way at the Red Sea. So God did not lead them here because he didn't know the way. Then there must be a reason, right? If so, this is not a meaningless place, but a must-visit spot in God's travel plan. And in this place called Mara, God had a plan he wanted to achieve. It was a test site to prepare to test their faith. You know, they have now lost everything. They have everything that they have and everything they relied on. Even the most fundamental human issues of eating and drinking has been challenged. God emptied what they had. Now they're in the brink of life. How hard it will be. You know, likewise, isn't this the world we live in these days? You know, we have learned during the pandemic that the workplace, the health, knowledge, and ability that we have trusted in was challenged. And there's nothing we can do with human power. We have experienced that the economy hit the low, health hit the low, and even our faith may have hit the low. However, God wanted to check the faith of the people of Israel through this difficult situation, and he wanted to test their hearts to see if they truly believed in God and that God is with them. And maybe he wants to test our faith too. God, who allowed them to cross the Red Sea, allowed this test with the bitter waters of Mara, not to make them to feel desperate and stumble, but just as he tested their faith in front of the Red Sea and made them to completely trust in God, he wanted them to check their faith once again in front of the bitter water of Mara. However, the answer that the Israelites gave in front of these tests was resentment. The people of Israel, after experiencing the miracles of the Red Sea, praise God with an excitement and gratitude, but they have faced physical fatigue and thirst. They poured out resentment. Just 3 days ago, the people who were praising God's victory collapsed helplessly before the bitter waters in the desert. But the reason they broke down so easily was because the reality of the bitter water seemed too big for them. Before this barrier, they easily forgot what they have experienced and how God led them to this point. Likewise, every time we encounter hardship, we focus on our weakness and quickly pours out complaints and resentment. You know, of course, if you look at the situation through a human's lens, such resentment makes sense, right? And they're in the desert, and the water, which is the most essential part of life, is running out. And the water they finally found was so bitter that they couldn't even drink it. There was also no hope of finding water. And all the things that they relied on for so long ran out. However, in these circumstances, rather than remembering, believing, relying on God, and thanking God for miraculously guiding them so far, they poured out complaints. And they forgot the Lord who guided them with the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and God who departed the Red Sea. They only look at the situation where they couldn't do anything. You know, likewise, good things do not always happen to the people of faith. Even Jesus said to his disciples, in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus didn't say, oh, if you believe in me, there will be no pain, no suffering, no hardship. Your life will be peaceful and always joyful. He didn't say that. In this world, you will have tribulation. You may encounter many difficulties and crises that cannot be understood. However, it is very important to decide what we are going to look at in such situation. Because the real crisis for people of faith is not the fact that we are in a desperate situation, but the fact that we do not have faith to seek God in such situation. That is a bigger crisis. That's why the problem seems bigger than God. And it makes us to collapse before the problems and hinders us from seeking God. So when the people of Israel forgot the grace of God, gratitude disappeared. And when gratitude disappeared, only complaints remained. How about you? What is controlling your life now? Is it fear due to the uncertainties in your life? Is it the unfortunate and hopeless news that we hear every day? Is it our inability to do anything in certain situations? So many thoughts dominate our minds and thoughts. But whatever that is, do they seem greater than God? And because they seem greater than God, are you having a tough days with such fear, resentment, and worries? In the book, Your God is Too Small by Pastor J.B. Phillips, it makes us to look back on the small faith of humans who have not discovered the greatness of God. So in tough situation, if by any chance that situation seems bigger than God, it is time to look back and check our faith. It is time to think and remember who our God is. It is not time for you to, you know, fast and meditate on your suffering or your hardship, right? I think we're so good in meditating, suffering, not meditating God's word, doing QT, right? You're having a quiet time, right? That's not good. You know why? It's because nothing is greater than God. Nothing. Even though the Israelites' three-day journey in the wilderness must have been very difficult and painful, they had to remember the various plagues in Egypt and the miracles in the Red Sea. And instead of complaining to Moses with the discouragement and despair, they had to trust, persevere, and pray to God and wait to the end for God to provide all their needs and keep them safe. Likewise, the current situation that you are going through may be a situation that can be frightening with humans' point of view. However, in that situation, just as Joseph did, just as Job did, no matter how hopeless things go and how painful our situation and how painful our lives may be, We must all look to God, who is greater than all the problems. And we must believe in God's faithfulness. And this is what Moses did. He could not rebuke the people for pouring out their grudges against them. And he could not blame God for that. So Moses, who was unable to do anything as a leader, he cries out to God. And he came to God knowing that there is only God who can solve this question, this situation. And this image of Moses contrasts with the image of people who are desperate and resentful in front of the bitter waters of Marah. Then what happens? An amazing miracle happens again. God answered Moses' prayer and showed Moses a piece of wood, a tree. And when Moses threw the branch into the water, the bitter water turned to sweet water, and they were able to drink it. You know, there is an amazing power in prayer when you rely on God. Through Elijah's prayer, it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months, right? The Jews were saved through Esther's prayer. Through Nehemiah's prayer, they were able to rebuild the temple of God. Peter and the Apostle Paul even brought a dead man back to life through prayers. And in addition to this, countless prayers of faith have brought miracles, and those miracles continue to this day. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Therefore, the believers must pray in faith rather than complain before the problems. That is the key to enter into His grace. Dear brothers and sisters, people call these days a time of crisis. But a crisis is also a time of great opportunity. But we have to choose between these two paths. Will you focus on the situation and be disappointed with Marah? Or will you move on with the prayer of faith, looking to God who is with you in Marah? Do you get the difference? The Israelites looked at Marah and chose the path of resentment. Moses, a man of faith, chose to look to God who was with him in Marah. And as he prayed while relying on God, God opened Moses' spiritual eyes, and he made him to look at the trees next to him. And God told him to throw the branch into the water, and the bitter water became sweet. He showed Moses, who could not do anything, the way to escape. When you focus on the situation, you will only see your inability to do anything. You may not see the tree that is right next to you that God has already prepared for you. But when Moses looked to God, he saw a tree. And he threw the branch and he experienced the amazing miracles. You know, this tree symbolizes Jesus Christ. The cross is the best tool to turn the bitter water of life into sweet water of life. The best place we can avoid that is escape to when we meet the situation like Marah is under the shadow of the cross. So when you hold on to this cross, and when you look to God, you can experience the blessing and see the miracle of bitter water turning into sweet water. The only way to escape is God. That is why God, who tests us and leads us to Marah, gives us a way to escape. If you look at Marah, you have no choice but to stay in bitter water. But if you look to the Lord in Marah, you will experience the amazing grace of God. Therefore, I hope that you will look to the cross of Jesus Christ with faith in a situation like Marah. Now, by the way, what did God expect from the Israelites who were on the verge of dying of thirst? And why did he even want to check their faith by allowing them to go through a painful process. God led the Israelites to Marah, where the waters were bitter. He said it was to test the faith of the people of Israel. That is, God asked if they have faith in God. He wanted them to have a heart to live in obedience to God. God, who made them to cross the Red Sea and drown the Egyptian army in the sea, wanted to check if the people of Israel really believe in God. And God wanted to check their faith that when the crisis comes again, they no longer doubt and trust God entirely. Furthermore, God wanted to turn the lives of those who have lived trusting the things of the world to the lives trusting the things of the above. The tree, the branch thrown at Marah implies Jesus Christ, the tree of life in the kingdom of heaven, who heals all nations and resurrects the dead. And that signifies the ancient people of Israel who lived without God in Egypt, serving idols and immersed in Egyptian culture. So God made them vomit all of their sinful appearances, which were polluted with sin, and make them to live according to God's way. So that vomiting is not just maybe the literally vomiting too, but it has a spiritual meaning. You're vomiting out all the sins, all the sinful appearances in your heart. You know, although it was accompanied by the pain of vomiting, God made them to vomit out the worldly thoughts and methods. Vomit out all the lack of faith, the arrogant and sinful aspects of human beings that they have been living with. And by throwing the branches into the water, he wanted to show the heart of God that desires to renew them. And before they move on to the next place, God wanted to check their faith. No matter what road it takes, God wanted to check whether they have the heart to go with the Lord. Then he made the laws for them and spoke to them in verse 26. He said to them, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." God said to the people of Israel, "Because I am the Lord who heals you, I will protect you from all diseases and solve all problems in your life." But before this promise, God has requested from them. It is a life of obedience to the word of God. God is asking them to change into a lifestyle that walks with God and listen to the word of God, the word of the Lord. And God is asking them to be righteous people, to live by the laws and decrees that the Lord has established. But in making this request, God himself expresses himself as, "I am the Lord, your God." We heard this from somewhere, right? "I am the Lord, your God." This expression alludes to the heart of the covenant. "I am the God and you are my people." Right? That's what God said in the beginning, right? In other words, this covenantal relationship with God, he provided a way to continue to enjoy blessings while obeying to God's word. And as if to prove this, God is now leading them to Elim. And Elim means oak tree. And there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And it rained often there. And there were many streams and springs. So the Israelites were able to camp in Elim and drink plenty of water and rest. But what is interesting is that Elim was very close. It was only about 6 miles from Marah. It's pretty close, right? If they had a little bit more patience, and if they continued to walk in faith, they could have reached Elim. But the Israelites were resentful and frustrated at the Marah and couldn't go further. The difficulties in front of them were so great that they could not wait. that they could not see Elim. But Elim was already prepared for them. God prepared the Red Sea. God prepared the wilderness. God prepared Marah. And God prepared the Elim with his providence. And as he led them, he continued to reveal who God is and what kind of plan and heart that he had for them. However, the people of Israel were thankful when everything was going well. And the voices of praises did not stop. But when the situation is difficult, they poured out accusation and all the resentment and complaints against Moses and God. You know, until now, in the story of their journey of faith, there were difficulties facing the Red Sea. There was also a miraculous moment of crossing the Red Sea. And there was a difficulty of passing through the wilderness and facing Marah, and there were moments of rest in Elim. You know, it is truly a spectacular story, but all these stories are part of God's grand story. Dear brothers and sisters, living in the world, especially living as an immigrant in the United States is not easy. Looking back, there must have been many moments of standing in front of the Red Sea, or moments when you feel like you're in a place called Marah. However, I strongly believe that God's grace has made us overcome all the moments and brought us to where we are now. Maybe these days, during the pandemic, it seems like we are in Marah. Situation seems bitter. We have lost what we had. And we live by losing many things that we trusted and depended on. But even in this situation, God chose the people of Israel and he brought them out of Egypt. So we must remember that Red Sea is not the end. Marah is not the end, but part in his grand story to lead us to the land of Canaan, the promised land. And even though the present situation seems like the worst Marah moment, with prayer and patience, look at the power of Jesus Christ on the cross and endure a little longer. Go a little farther. God has prepared the blessing of Elim and is waiting for us there. This too will pass. Whatever that you are going through, this too will pass. And the Lord who has gone before us, he will tell us where to go. And he will tell us what to do. And I believe that he will protect us from the heat and cold of the wilderness, turn bitter water into sweet water, and guide us to the place of Elim. So don't waste your time to complain before the moments of Marah. Make that time to restore our broken relationship with God by repenting of our weak faith, which we live by listening to only the voices of the world, not the voice of God. And instead of resenting, instead of being frustrated and trembling in fear, recognize God's sovereignty in all circumstances. There's a reason. There's a reason why God put us there. And leave everything before Almighty God. God who saved us, God who parted the Red Sea, God who turned the bitter water into sweet. Just focus on the word of the Lord and trust him completely. Then he will resolve our problems in his way and in his time. Therefore, if your heart is troubled by various problems and don't know what to say, don't know what to do, and all I can do is to pray for this time to pass quickly, remember the Lord who is with us, even in that circumstances. Remember the Lord who has guided you so far. And I hope that you pass this test at Marah and learn the heart of God and come anew with a more mature faith. And soon, when the time like this Marah passes, there will be a time of Elim that is already prepared us. May you all experience this blessing, and I pray that God's miraculous hand and His grace be with you always. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your words today. Help us to remember the words that you have spoken to us, and help us to always remember your grace and your sovereignty and your almighty hands. And help us not to focus on the situation, a difficult situation that we may be going through, but help us to completely trust you and help us to rely on your wisdom and your grace so that we can experience the blessings that you have prepared for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.